Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to the Second Tier Podcast. I'm Ryan Dilks, and I'm joined by the Princess Diana to my Johan Cruyff. It's Justin Peach.
Good day to you, Ryan.
If you're extremely confused by that intro, it's a Matt Letizier conspiracy theory thing. Even he looked at that and thought, this bloke is off his rocker, didn't he? Justin, would you like to start, as we tend to usually do on these Thursday episodes, with a good old quote from the Book of Warnock?
Yeah, why not? I was hoping you'd pull out a conspiracy theory, but no, let's go with a Warnock quote.
No, we're very conspiracy theory free on this podcast.
Surprisingly.
Would you like to give me a page number, please?
21.
Okay, so this is Neil Warnock on guiding the Blades to victory over Leeds. I used the Olympics in my team talk when I went to bed. I'm going to have to start this again because I've just been completely put off by the next line.
Okay. This is great. Go on, churn it out.
Right. Okay. I'm not reading this wrong. That's exactly what it says. Fine. It says, I used the Olympics in my team talk. When I went to bed, Kelly Holmes turned me on, which is sad for me, isn't it? But when I watched Kelly and the relay lads, their ambition was to aim for the top. Now I think I have a group of lads who should look at themselves and also aim for the top. Honestly, that completely threw me off when I saw that, because I thought, that can't be written right, but it is.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
Has Kelly Holmes turned you on, Justin?
No. 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 I don't really know. Okay.
Don't know anymore. Let's end the tension with this one. This is from when Neil took in the sights on a scouting trip to Morocco for QPR. We did have time for some sightseeing, wandering around the square and through the souks. I don't know. We saw all the snake charmers with their cobras. I was a bit worried no one offered to swap my wife, Sharon, for a camel.
Fucking this book. It's getting worse.
This book is brilliant, isn't it? Honestly, there's so many quotes and every single one is pure gold. Anyway, let's talk about some championship matters, shall we, Justin? Welcome to the number one championship podcast, the Second Tier. Thank you for joining us wherever you are. Yes, we have had another interesting twist in the automatic promotion race with Southampton thumping Preston on Tuesday night. So we'll talk about that very shortly. We've also got some news from the past few days, including Portsmouth. They've returned to the Championship, so we'll talk about that and their promotion. Talk about Rotherham United, who have sacked their manager, which probably wasn't a big surprise. Also going to have a bit of a reflection on the EFL Team of the Year as well, after the EFL Awards over the past few days as well. So that's how the show is looking here, ladies and gentlemen. But as I say, let's kick things off with Southampton, who kept alive their automatic promotion hopes with a convincing 3-0 win over Preston. Convincing, perhaps a bit generous to Preston. Southampton had 23 shots to Preston's 1. They had 78% possession. Southampton had an XG of 2.5 to Preston's 0.1. So, yeah, this was a walk in the park for Russell Martin's side, wasn't it, Justin?
Yeah, it was. It was. It was fantastic. It was a really good performance from them. And what was I saying at the start of the season about Southampton needing to be clinical? Yeah, something along those lines. And finally, Finally, we get it. We get an incisive, aggressive front foot Southampton who take no prisoners in the final third. Because, I mean, even if you look at, you know, Sheridan's last few goals, how much he's starting to goal hang. You know, it's just being in those positions and where you need to be as a striker. It's now instinctive, and unfortunately, it's just taken a bit too long for that to happen in the season for Southampton to really be pulling away from the chasing pack of the automatics at the top of the table. But yeah, this was a truly, truly brilliant performance, and one that will make a lot of what. Say a lot of those teams above them really take note, because to put away a team like Preston, who are decent, a very good side chasing their own playoff aspirations this season, yeah, you get the attention of those you are chasing down, hunting down, I should say.
Yeah, it was a very impressive showing, and 3 wins in 3 puts the current top three in the Championship on notice, doesn't it? Because Southampton mean business. Shea Adams was brilliant. Stuart Armstrong was pulling all the strings in midfield. I mean, those two were the big standouts for me, but everyone was great, really. And they controlled the game from start to finish. I suppose the disappointing thing is that they didn't win by more, because once it got to 3-0, they seemed pretty happy with that and just coasted along, really. So it's a worrying sight for those, particularly at Ipswich, Leicester and Leeds. Big question is, what does it mean for the promotion race now? Well, in a very strange turn of events, Southampton could actually be level on points with Leeds by the next time Leeds play, by virtue of the fact that Leeds don't play until next Monday and Southampton play on Saturday, which is a unique kind of thing to happen, I suppose, isn't it? But Justin, if Southampton win this weekend, they would be level on points with Leeds and potentially just 1 point behind Leicester, depending on what they do this weekend. Ipswich aren't playing, I should point out, this weekend for some strange reason, but they've got a weekend off and they can happily look as everyone else crumbles around them. But if that does happen, Justin, where Southampton are just 1 point behind Leicester after this weekend, it's Leicester v Southampton next Tuesday, Justin, which is completely and utterly mouth-watering, isn't it?
It does make mouth water. It really does. I really switched to be playing Coventry, because obviously Coventry have got the FA Cup semi-final this weekend.
That would make sense, actually, yeah. Wouldn't it? Yeah, yeah, maybe that's why, but carry on.
Championship expert, my arse. An incredible turn of events, as you quite rightly put it. I think that, you know, the games that are coming and the magnitude of these games, because Southampton have still got to play Leicester and Leeds, it just suddenly swings things in their favour. And I know you pointed out that, okay, Southampton were content with a 3-0 win, but why exert more energy? Just cruise. Just take the game easy. Take your foot off the gas. You've done the damage in that first half. Take it easy for the rest of the game. Rest up and go again at the weekend against Cardiff, because that game becomes a must-win one going into the game next week against Leicester. So I think all that's going to do with Ipswich and Leeds not playing, obviously, on Saturday or Sunday, it's just going to mount that pressure even higher if Southampton pick up the 3 points. I think this performance here will mount up the pressure as well. So yeah, it's a case of what's the saying, you know, who blinks first? Who's going to blink first? Not Southampton. Southampton's eyes are wide open. They are stinging, but they are wide open.
I think Leeds and Leicester, they've blinked a few times, haven't they, recently? But yeah, it's really fascinating that Southampton do have to play those two sides, and that's what makes this all the more exciting, this promotion race, because, you know, Southampton can hurt those who are nearest to them. It's still got to be said that you've got to consider Southampton a long shot still, because they are relying on getting results against Leeds and Leicester. And then even then, they still need Ipswich or Leicester to keep dropping points elsewhere. So, you know, you're looking at them winning at least 5 of their last 7 games. And I mean, they've won 3 of them already, but it'd be a remarkable end to the season if they did manage that. So, look, it's exciting for Southampton because they've still got a chance, but there's a lot of factors they have to overcome, because it's not in their hands as things stand anyway. But it undoubtedly increases the pressure on the top three, which, I mean, they were already crumbling under that pressure, so they won't thank them for even more pressure, will they, Justin?
No, they won't. They won't. I think it's all the more intriguing, actually, the fact that Ipswich, Leicester and Leeds have been choking so much, it's brought Southampton into it. And as you say, I think we got to a point where we were those teams were just stumbling over each other, falling, tripping over each other, almost like a hurdle race, a 100-metre hurdle or a hurdle race. I don't actually know what they're called.
It's actually 110-metre hurdles.
Oh, good for them. Extra 10 metres.
It's because they've got to jump over, haven't they? Keith, you've got to remember about the hurdles, Justin.
I don't give a shit about the hurdles. You've ruined my analogy. but these hurdles, they've literally just got Ipswich, Leeds, Leicester in a complete heap over each other. And Southampton have got the opportunity to just walk over them and walk to the title. I think that just makes this all the more incredible. It's already made a really intriguing, fascinating promotion race even more intense and intriguing, because Southampton could potentially win a title. It is out of their hands. But as I say, these teams have been choking and blinking and rubbing their eyes. They have no idea what's going on. Southampton just doing their business.
Yes, Southampton have got Cardiff away this weekend. Leicester have got West Brom at home. And then, as I say, Leeds are playing at home on Monday, away at Middlesbrough. So that's how it's setting up. There has been a blow for Southampton. Goalkeeper Gavin Bazunu suffered an Achilles injury. Russell Martin said he's not sure about the extent of the injury yet, but has hinted he's going to miss the rest of the season, including the playoffs. So that's a blow. He has been a bit shaky at times, but his ball-playing ability... Well, just I know what you mean. He has been a bit shaky at times, but his ball-playing ability is important to how Southampton play. So he'll be amiss in that sense. They're probably going to have to play Alex McCarthy between the sticks for the remainder of the season. That's how it's looking anyway. Well, that's the promotion race, and that's how it's looking heading into this weekend. But let's quickly touch on Preston, Justin, because if their playoff hopes weren't over after the weekend's loss to Norwich, they are now. So... with that being said, how would you sum up their season now that they've got nothing else to play for?
I think it's been great. I think it has. I know it's coming from me who predicted them to be a mass underachiever this season, but their electric start, I think at the start of the season, probably skewed expectations somewhat from a lot of people. And then there was a significant drop off in form to the point where it saw fans, Preston fans, wanting Ryan Lowe out of the door. And then a balance was found, and they hit form again in January and onwards. They weren't fancied for a playoff push by many. Again, I was one of them. So for them to be in the conversation for the playoffs with 3-4 games to go, I think is an incredible achievement, especially with their budget. That's something you really do have to remind yourself about, is their budget isn't a big one. They don't spend money willingly. Spent money willingly on a striker who is very much so in Osmajic. It's a hit and miss situation there. Mads Frekar Jensen's been okay. He's not been fantastic, but he's been okay. I think one of their better signings is probably Dwayne Holmes, for example. So, yeah, it's been a positive season, really positive season. I think they'll take it as it comes, and I think gives them a chance to build on next season. But, yeah, that middle period of the season probably wasn't great.
Yeah, well, if you look at it from a contextless situation, they're currently on course for a top 10 finish. Mm-hmm. So I think actually they have had a really good season. The season before last, they finished 13th. Then last season, it was 12th. So one way or another, it looks like they're progressing. It's slow progress, but it's progress. And I think you touched on something really important there, Justin, with the financial side of things for Preston. If you look at the teams who are set to finish ahead of them as things stand, you've got Coventry, who spent £26 million last summer. Middlesbrough spent £8 million. Hull spent £5 million on Jadon Philogene and then signed the likes of Fabio Carvalho in the winter. Mm-hmm. Norwich have two players in Josh Sargent and Gabriel Sara, who cost them a combined £15 million, amongst others. So... they're batting in a completely different ballpark to Preston financially, aren't they? So really, Ryan Lowe is doing a brilliant job in the circumstances. And you're absolutely right. It's even more impressive when you consider at various points, Preston fans wanted him out. That has been kind of a regular theme at various different points during his reign. Preston fans not being totally impressed with him. But on the balance of what he has achieved in terms of, you know, finishing final places in the table, he's done a brilliant job. He's overachieving with a club who like to cut their cloth accordingly, and that deserves a lot of credit in my eyes.
Yeah, and they do it. They're really bad at holding on. They hold again another side. Who hold on to their assets for too long, rather than selling at their peak value. Hence, Ben Pearson left when he did. Daniel Johnson left on a free transfer, etc. You know, there are several examples. Ben Davis, another one. So, they're a team who could become a, you know, sort of a bit like a Brentford, not to that extent, but you know, maybe a beta version of Brentford, where they produce assets and then sell them on, because they've got a good group at the club at the moment. Jordan Story's had a really good season. Liam Lindsay's had another really solid season. So you know, there are players that they can potentially sell on for good value and reinvest that back into the squad. It's just a case of doing it regularly, and hopefully there's a plan in place to do that. And then that club can really build. But as you say, I think Ryan Lowe has overachieved again. I think I said the same thing last season. So for them to go on and do it again next season, I think would be another overachievement should they not invest in the summer.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Justin. I think it's all about just being a bit smarter with the recruitment. I appreciate the ambition which they've had with the likes of signing Osmajic, Frogger Jensen. Maybe those signings haven't worked out as well as Preston fans may have hoped. They haven't been bad, but maybe not worked out as well as they would have hoped. So, you know, maybe if they keep going down that route or just, you know, look elsewhere and, I don't know, be a bit cleverer with things, then they very well could make another step next season, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, I think the likes of Osmajic and Jensen, they'll be players who probably will really see what they can do next season. They've had a year to settle into a new league, a new division, new way of living, if you like, in the Northwest. So it's going to be one of those situations where we'll probably see them really start to develop next in the next campaign, and hopefully it's for the positive.
Yeah, both young, aren't they? So
exactly.
Yeah, I could definitely see that being the case. Right, Justin, let's have a quick break. After that, we'll talk about some of the news from the past few days, including Pompey returning to the Championship.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the Second Tier podcast. So let's talk about some of the news in the Championship from the past few days, Justin. And Pompey gone up Pompey, because they have been promoted back to the Championship, Justin. Portsmouth back in the Championship. They've won the League One title with two games to spare. It's been 12 years since they were last in the Second Tier, which seems mad, doesn't it, Justin?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it really does. I've just
12
for some reason,
years.
12 years.
12 years.
How old? We were 18. We were but teenagers, Ryan. Fresh faced, a little bit chubby, and proper virgins. 12 years ago.
I was actually quite skinny when I was 18. It's only recently where I've really piled on the pounds. But you know, Justin, I think we can all agree, apart from maybe Portsmouth's neighbours on the south coast, it's great to have them back in the Championship, isn't it? Because they've been lingering around for way too long in League One and Two. So, you know, 12 years that they've been away, it's great to have them back.
No, it is. It really is, because they're a big football club. They're a well-supported football club as well. Fratton Park, there's always noise. I alluded to it in the break jokingly, but the fucking cowbell is back. I don't know why I'm excited for it. It's just a different thing to have in the Championship, a different noise at games to be able to hear, I guess, you know, sensory overload sort of thing. But it is massive. It's absolutely massive to have a club that is as well-supported as Portsmouth in the Championship. And I think as well as that, it's going to add to the competitiveness as well. You know, you've got other clubs that have come up, like Sheffield United, Sunderland in previous years, who are very well-supported football clubs, and Portsmouth fall into that category as well. And they've been down and they've gone through it. They really have gone through it. You know, several administrations. They were the original overspenders, weren't they, back in the Premier League? Or maybe Leeds were. Maybe Leeds were. Anyway, that's by the by. They overspent significantly. They've gone through the mire. They've come back, and it's good to see. Really good to see.
Yeah, and you could tell that it's been a long time with the scenes when they finally secured promotion. Also thoroughly enjoyed when the captain Marlon Pack was making a genuine heartfelt speech seemingly in a bar. Their defender Joe Rafferty getting his bum out, which is just funny. But yeah, I completely agree with everything you've just said, Justin. Portsmouth are a huge club, and it seems like they've been battling for promotion in League One, but constantly missing out for decades. However, it also felt like just a matter of time until they were a Championship side again, because they're too big not to be at this level, at least. So I think it's great to have them here next season. They'll be a credit to the Championship. Great fan base, which travels in its numbers, and Fratton Park's a great away day. Also looking forward to potentially having a South Coast derby next season if Southampton don't go up, because they've only been in the same division once in the last 19 years, which is insane, isn't it? So yeah, that'll be great to have in the division. Yeah, Justin, you're pulling that face. That's the exact face I was pulling.
I just cast me on my back. Was that when Ricardo Rocha booted the ball at the crowd?
Yeah, I don't know, maybe. It was around that time. I think it was like 2011 kind of time. But it seems mad that these two have just avoided each other when yeah, they were both in Premier League for lengthy periods. But yeah, for them to be back is great. Yeah. And it'll also be great to have them here because they've got a really good manager in John Mousinho. It's an experienced side sprinkled with some exciting loan players who they will need to replace. But the sporting director, Richard Hughes, has been earning rave reviews as well. So it'll be interesting to see what they do in the summer. I think they'll cause plenty of teams problems next season. So looking forward to seeing what they can do. One thing I will say, Justin, and I'm sure we'll talk about this more as we see who else is coming up from League One. We have seen a lot of League One football this season, haven't we? It's got to be said, it's a very poor league compared to last season where we had the likes of Plymouth, Ipswich, Wednesday, etc. So I think it's a decent opportunity now to say I would warn people against getting carried away with any of the promoted sides next season. I think teams like Portsmouth, for example, who have pretty much cruised League One in the end, will cause problems. But considering we've seen Ipswich having the season they're having, Sunderland finishing in the top six last season, right now I'd be very surprised if any of the sides coming up from League One had seasons anything near to that kind of standard, Justin. Would you agree?
Yeah, I wanted to be a little bit facetious with you and argumentative, but it's really hard to disagree with that notion, mainly because, as you say, we've watched a lot of League One football. I'm a Derby fan. Poor Warns Derby are very, very shit at football. the standard isn't great and they've got an ageing squad. Portsmouth have, there are some experienced players who they probably need to move on. I mean, Marlon Pack, for example, he's played at Championship level before, but he dropped down a level to go and play for Portsmouth. They have signed some good players. I think Riley Tally was a good signing last season. A Colby Bishop again is a good player, but can he step up to the Championship? You know, there are a lot of question marks, but I would say that teams have been in this situation before. You know, Sheffield United, when they came up under Chris Wilder, for example, they were very, very good, surprised quite a lot of people by how, with that innovative system they had with wide centre-backs. Then you had Luton and Coventry steady themselves at Championship. Even Hull steady themselves after being in the third tier and then built from there. So, you know, clubs can look pretty average in League One and then do really well in Championship. So yeah, don't be too disheartening, Ryan. Come on, be positive.
All I'm saying is that before Sunderland's top six finished last season, the last time a newly promoted side finished in the top half was 2018. So a 5-year gap. But I'm not saying we should completely rule Portsmouth out of doing that. They have been the cream of the crop in League One this season. And right now, I'd say there's a very good chance that they'll stay up and, as I say, cause teams problems. But you look at it this way, we're losing a pretty crap Rotherham team. if Wednesday go down, Wednesday will be relegated by the absolute shambles that they were in the summer. Mm-hmm. And then there's other factors as well. So we could be losing one really crap team and a team who have been a bit of a basket case this season. So next season, will there be any teams who are as monstrously bad as that, for example? You mm-hmm. see what I mean?
So, yeah, it's good, Paul.
Yeah, it is. And while I wouldn't want to cast aspersions against Portsmouth so early on, all I'm saying is a word of warning on that behalf. But yeah, I'm quite excited to see how Portsmouth do next season is what I'm trying to say. Before you accused me of being a dick to Portsmouth fans already. Just goes straight out the door and accuse me of having a Portsmouth bias. We'll just talk about Rotherham, Justin. They've sacked Liam Richardson after 23 Championship games in charge. He won just 10 points from an available 69. So not brilliant. Where do you stand with Richardson, Justin? Do you think he was dealt a really shit hand, or does he have to take a fair chunk of the blame as well?
you know what? I don't know. Maybe a bit of both. It's very much sitting on the fence. If you look at the playing side of things, defensive organisation has been atrocious. They've been so bad. I've brought this up on so many occasions. They've been so easy to pick apart. The amount of gaps they've left for teams to run through genuinely has been pub league level. It's been startlingly bad. It has been terrible. And that's, you know, that was something that was there under Matt Taylor, and that's something that Richardson did not remedy at all. More holes in that defence than a block of Emmental cheese. That being said, the squad is so poor. It's full of old, injury-ravaged individuals with some potential in certain places. They got quality in areas, but I don't think the squad's been balanced out to match the young, enthusiastic group of players that they've got at the football club. It's a real haphazard approach to recruitment, which is, I think has let them down, because I thought Matt Taylor could really build on something. We've said it time and time again. He had a really positive January last year, January 2023, signed some good players on loan. Didn't replicate it. It was terrible. Really, really bad. And I think that's what really let him down.
Yeah, well, put it this way. I think Rotherham could have had Pep Guardiola in charge and they still wouldn't have stayed up this season, because the squad is awful. We've been saying it all season and Rotherham fans were denying that it was true.
Yep.
But
that was
embarrassing. I think they were destined. Yep. I think they were destined to go down, whoever they got in. They were really poor when Matt Taylor was there. I think Liam Richardson has actually made them worse. They've been completely and utterly hopeless under him. 13 losses from their last 15 is just embarrassing. He's a League One manager and was never an inspiring appointment. I think I did say that at the time when he came in. And I think Rotherham will struggle to bounce back next season, but they definitely weren't going to do it under Liam Richardson. So they may as well have got rid now, because he wasn't the future. Was he? I think that's fair to say. Well, they've moved quickly to get their new manager in. They've gone and got in former manager Steve Evans. Of course they have. He's signed a contract until 2027, but what do you think of this, Justin?
I do think it's a good appointment. I think it's a safe one for Rotherham, but I think it's a good one. He's someone who's had success with Rotherham in the past, obviously guided them from League Two into the Championship and kept them in the Championship for leaving the following season. He's a manager who will build a team as well, and that's what Rotherham need. They've gone down a younger manager route with Matt Taylor, and we saw how much of a disaster that was in terms of attracting players. But I think Steve Evans has got the experience to come in and know exactly what his squad needs, what he will need from his squad, and he will refine it and do what he needs to do to get that team more competitive than it has been, because this has been a bruising campaign. That being said, this isn't the reset that Rotherham need. I think they need a reset upstairs. I think they need a reset downstairs. Steve Evans is pretty much the same but different, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. It makes a lot of sense.
It's a bit like having white walls and then painting a magnolia.
Okay, fair enough. I will say this. I wish they made this appointment back in December instead of getting Liam Richardson in, because, first of all, the content, which is our first and foremost concern. But also, I think they would have been harder to beat. They wouldn't have stayed up, but I reckon they would have had more fight about them at least. He was reportedly offered the job back in December, I think, but apparently turned it down. Maybe he thought, I'm better off waiting until they're relegated. And you know what? I don't blame him. Is it a good appointment? It hardly screams progressive, does it? You're saying then, Justin, about how Rotherham need a reset. Now they need it upstairs, downstairs. They need it on the middle floor, the top floor, the basements. They need it everywhere. But Rotherham aren't going to change. They want to get back into the Championship, scrape survival each season, and then do it by spending as little money as possible. So if that's what they're going to do, then Steve Evans fits the bill of what they need, I guess. But I think it's just a pathetic lack of ambition, because they might get promoted under him next season. And fair enough, if that happens, he's got a good record at League One. But then what after that? Where do Rotherham go after that? And that's why, for me, they should have taken this opportunity to be in League One again and reset and try to be more ambitious as a club. But this is exactly the same as before.
I think one thing you've got to really sort of question, I know we've sort of laid a bit of sight at the Rotherham fans, is, you know, where does it leave the Rotherham fans? Are they excited by the appointment? Are they disappointed? Do they just want to be a yo-yo club in the Championship between the Championship and League One, or do they want to try and settle and show that ambition? I think there will come a point where they really do start to question the ambition of the owners. And look, Rotherham aren't going to be a wealthy club. They're not going to ever be a wealthy club, but we've seen clubs with low budgets thrive at championship level, or not thrive, but survive at the very least. And Rotherham at no point have ever convinced us that they can do that. So yeah, you've got to you've got to question why the supporters keep coming back, other than complete love for the club, obviously. But they need to see ambition. Is this ambition? I don't know.
No, it's definitely not ambition, Justin. And going back to what you were saying just then about what do the Rotherham fans think? They're not impressed from what I can see. They'll tell you when they're talking about their club to outsiders that they're a small club and, you know, the budget's holding them back. But when you see what Rotherham fans are saying to each other, they are saying that the current owners just, we're not getting anywhere with them. So what's the point? And that's why I'm looking at this, just thinking nothing's changing. It's just going to be more of the same. And that's not what we want to see. We want to see Rotherham try to be a bit more ambitious, not overspending, Justin, but, you know, be a bit more progressive, be a bit Plymouth, if anything. And they're just not doing that, are they? Anyway, let's move on to the EFL Awards, Justin. The winners of that have been revealed over the past few days. As usual, I will just remind everyone that these awards are complete and utter tin pot compared to the much more prestigious second tier awards. Only 3 weeks to go now until we reveal them, by the way. But if you must know, here's who won at that nonsense ceremony. Ipswich's Kieran McKenna won manager of the season. The Leeds pair of Crescencio Somerville and Archie Gray won player and young player of the season. The EFL team of the season has raised a few eyebrows, though. What did you make of that, Justin, without, of course, giving anything away regarding our team of the season, the proper team of the season?
Yeah, I mean, there are some obvious ones that are in there that you'd agree with. Dewsbury Hall, for example, because it's here, Somerville, Sammy Schmodix. There are some also eyebrow raises. I mean, has Jorginho Rutter done enough to be a number nine in a team of the season? Maybe not, because he's been playing most of the season as a number 10, as a second striker, a withdrawn striker, if you like. That's why his assists are so high and his goals are so low. Jacob Greaves, I think, is a good addition. Ethan Ampadu's played a lot of the season at centre mid, but he's been included at centre back. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. And as I say, I'm not going to give too much away. There might be some players that are disappointed. Alex Palmer in goal, Adam Armstrong as well. Yeah, some eyebrow-raising decisions.
Yeah. Well, there's plenty of goalkeepers who will be in the conversation. and I don't want to give too much away, as I say. I mean, I will say this. I think Adam Armstrong's omission seems mental. 32 gold contributions this season, the most in the division. I'm not sure what more he had to do to be included in that team. And I will also take issue with a similar one to you, Justin. That's Ethan Ampadu. And the reason being, he's played 16 games at centre-back. So he's only played around a third of his games this season as a defender.
Yeah.
Is this some sort of joke? He arguably deserves to be in midfield, but you can't say he's been the best centre-back in the division this season when he's only played a third of games at centre-back.
Joe Roden's been a better centre-back throughout the entire campaign for Leeds.
Well, yeah, if you're going to choose a Leeds centre-back, you'd obviously choose Joe Roden, not a centre midfielder. So, I mean, they were the main two for me. I mean, we could pick apart the whole thing and obviously reveal ours in 3 weeks' time, Justin, and say this one is much better, which of course it will be because we're the championship experts. I don't actually know how they pick the EFL team of the season, but whoever is doing it is clearly on glue. So that's what I'll say about that. And we'll tell you who deserves to be in the team of the season when we do our second tier awards in 3 weeks' time, ladies and gentlemen. And final bit of news, Justin, which is an interesting one. Troy Deeney is set to feature as a wildcard player at next month's UK Open Pool Championship. He says he's doing it because he wants to push the sport forward and says he likes pushing boundaries and seeing how it goes. What do you think, Justin?
Troy Deeney likes pushing boundaries. What? Excuse me?
What's that supposed to mean?
He pushes boundaries all the time, hence the old Arsenal and Cahoney's quote that's been coming up the last few weeks. He wants to push the sport forward. How long has he been involved in the sport to be inspired to push the sport forward? Or is it just a bit of a payday in a documentary? That's what I would speculate.
I did see that he was talking about his experience in pool, and he says he's been playing it a few times in pubs, usually with a pint in his hand. So I'm not sure how good he actually
is. It's quite disrespectful, actually.
Well, he's a big name, I suppose, isn't he? He's like a celebrity.
It's Troy Deeney.
Kind of pick.
It's Troy Deeney. Yeah. He's not bloody Ronaldo, is he? He's Troy Deeney.
That's fair. I'm just interested to see maybe whether he'll take every shot like his penalties and just absolutely power drive them.
Oh my God, he needs to break. He needs to break, doesn't he? He has to.
Yeah.
He has to. We have to see this. But look, if he wants to propel the sport forward, then brilliant. Good for you, Troy. Don't just do it this once. Keep doing it. Go to all of the events and be the spokesperson for the UK Open Pool Championship. But if it's just this one and then you inevitably will lose and you go home in your Lamborghini, don't come out with all this bollocks.
He's probably got a better chance at this than he has as a manager, judging from 100%. His first green spell, hasn't he? His experience, though, is, from what he said, just playing in pubs. And have you seen the standard of this, Justin? I've seen loads of clips on social media. It is ridiculously good. Some bloke cleared the whole table in less than 30 seconds. It was outrageous. And this is what Troy Deeney is apparently up against now.
Yeah, it's a bit like me just deciding to rock up and train for Watford because I want to push the sport forward. No, it doesn't work like that, Troy. It doesn't work like that. This is a lifetime. It's a lifetime's worth of work for these people, and you're taking the piss. Go away.
Well, he's a wild card player, Justin. This is what it's all about.
Can I be a wild card player?
I mean, you could do.
Or do I need to have the celebrity that Troy Deeney has?
Hey, you're a big deal now, mate. Number one EFL podcast.
I am a big deal. I'm sort of a big deal.
We'll see if he can get you as a wild card at Watford.
That, honestly, if you get me a wild card as a pool player, that'll be hilarious for everybody.
I would love to see that.
That'll be hilarious.
But if Watford really wants a player who usually complains about being injured after 30 minutes and doesn't run about anymore, then hit us up. I've got one for you.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, that's just mean. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Midweek Show at the second tier. And we'll have the preview show tomorrow, where we'll be looking ahead to another weekend in the Championship, another massive weekend in the Championship. It's the third last game week of the Championship season. So this is it. There's a lot on the line, ladies and gentlemen, so we'll have a look ahead to that in tomorrow's show, in the previous show, sponsored by SBK. So we look forward to seeing you then for that. But as I say, this has been the Second Tier Podcast. I've been Ryan Dilks.
I've been Justin Peach.
And a big thank you for listening.
Second Tier is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.